everybody, and welcome to episode 364 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kuznez, and today I'm going to be reviewing Persona 5, which I literally just finished about, 3 minutes ago. Technically, I finished it hours ago, but then I've sporadically been watching all the cutscenes and doing all the dialogue and all that that happens after the final boss fight. I've seen the credits, made my after the game save so that I can do a new game plus, which I won't be doing. I'll get to that. But before I get to all of that, I want to talk a little bit about C2E2, which just happened in Chicago this past weekend. The Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo. Get it? There are two C's and two E's. C2E2. Got a little belchy there. Sorry, people. I'm not feeling too happy. Not about C2E2. It's all about Persona 5. But C2E2 was good. I didn't get to go as much as I wanted to because of some back problems. But I did make my way out there. And it was quite a bit like it was last year. But I want to make note of a few things that I've noticed over, not just from year to year, but, you know, over just like the course of the last few years. One, though, in terms of the way it's laid out and everything, I think C2E2 in comparison to other big cons like Gen Con and PAX, which are the other two big ones I've been to, the aisle size is still pretty good. If you're trying to get somewhere quickly, especially on Saturday, it could be a problem because they can get packed. But if you're just looking to stroll around, for the most part, it shouldn't be too claustrophobic inducing for those who may not like brushing up against other people. But it can be, especially in the heat of Saturdays, it can be, depending on where you are, a little bit crowded. But for the most part, it's still pretty manageable, which is nice, because Gen Con, especially, was, of the big cons I've been to, probably the worst. I don't have a great memory of PAX, because it's been so long ago, but I remember PAX being very, like, hit or miss. In that some places were really wide open, and then some places were really tiny. Especially, and this probably has changed because I think it's expanded greatly over the, not last few years, but since I've been there. The Indie Mega Booth, I believe now there are multiple Indie Mega Booth sections, and I would expect that those parts of PAX have been greatly increased in terms of aisle space and just space in general, but C2E2 has a pretty nice sized aisles. Artist Alley is nice as always. You got a lot of artists there. You know, familiar faces, new faces, typical faces, faces I don't like, faces I'm like, oh, I like this stuff. But what I want to just make note of quickly before I get into Persona 5 is that I think, and maybe it's just me, but I feel like the anime stamp at C2E2 has, I don't want to say significantly increased, but I've definitely seen it step up over the last few years, and I just feel like this year especially, it's really sort of been making its move to be more of have more of a place at C2E2, and just in general in the industry, with like Crunchyroll gaining over 1 million paid subscribers, which is great. And, you know, some people look at it and like, well, 1 million compared to like Netflix and all those other things. Is that really a big deal? And it is. It's just showing you how small the anime fan base is in comparison to just, you know, general audiences and whatnot. It's still a very niche industry. And there's also still a lot of piracy, which is annoying and frustrating. I've been in arguments with people who condone piracy and try to make reasons that would make it acceptable, and I will never accept any reason for that. But I definitely feel like there's been, I don't want to say movement, but it definitely feels like the anime is taking a bigger hold of C2E2. Still a small hold in the grand scheme of things, but I definitely feel like there's more of an anime presence. We have the Viz Media panels, Crunchyroll, Funimation. There was that really great voice actor panel with a whole bunch of people, including, I forget the voice actor, Spike Spiegel from Bebop. But that one was full of voice actors from so many things, including like Troy Baker, who's, you know, incredibly well known for playing Joel in The Last of Us and Booker in Bioshock Infinite and so many other things. That was a really jam-packed panel full of so many people. It's a bit crazy. But yeah, it's just nice seeing anime, you know, make somewhat some steps, some little tiny movements towards being mainstream, which it'll never be. I can't imagine a day when it'll ever be mainstream, but and definitely a lot of love for One Punch Man, because I do feel like that's probably one of the best new shows that can really make an impact with non-anime fans. My dad enjoyed some of it, though he did. The few episodes you watch, he's like, I like this, but he just takes down everything with one punch. Where's the fun in that? I'm like, yeah, you can just keep watching. But yeah, that was nice. So, moving on to Persona 5. So, I played Persona 5. I played all of it. I finished it 80-something hours. I played it on the easiest difficulty because the story is what I care about. I don't really care about the combat because I don't think Persona's combat, in particular from 3 on, is that great. It's just Pokemon for adults. Very basic. Rock, paper, scissors. Oh, you're an ice Persona? Guess what? You're weak to fire, etc. You're this dark one. You're weak to light power. Blah, blah, blah. Not really that complicated. Doesn't require a lot of thought, even, you know, like something like Disgaea or whatever, where you have placement and all these other things to think about. You don't even have to think about order or anything, really. It's all about ambushing your enemies, which I don't like the way it's set up in Persona 5, because the cover system is awful. I hate it. It's really stupid. It doesn't work well. When I want to get out of cover, it doesn't always make that easy like it should. And the camera can just lose its mind. I don't know where I was going with that. But it just is a really frustrating system, and I don't like it. I think it has made ambushing far too easy and has taken away the sense of accomplishment that came with ambushing in the previous games. In the previous games, you usually get into regular battles where it's just even one-on-one, not one-on-one battles, but just you're both on even footing, essentially. And if you manage to get behind an enemy and ambush it before it knew you were there, before it sensed you, you actually felt like you accomplished something. You had this great sense of accomplishment. You're like, I snuck up on him and I got the ambush, I got that attacking without him noticing me, and now I have this advantage in combat. In Persona 5, if you don't ambush an enemy, you basically effed up. Whatever you did, you screwed up, because ambushing is easy as hell. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to ambush every single enemy unless there's some kind of story conceit or palace conceit where it's like, okay, there's this one enemy guarding this thing, and you have to take it head on. There's no way to ambush it. It's just going to be a regular battle. Go at it. So I don't like that. And I don't really like the palaces themselves, the dungeons, the way they are just set up, because, yes, they are pre-built, And I've heard people who really like that. They don't like the random, randomly generated dungeons of the previous games, even though we have that with Mementos. My problem with the pre-built dungeons in Persona 5 is that while they may be pre-built, the level design is not that great that it makes them feel like they're pre-built. They just feel like randomly generated levels that have no other designs, that just are static and don't change. And that doesn't make them feel particularly special. Some of them feel more pre-built. In particular, this one where you are turned into a mouse and then you have to keep backtracking and unlocking doors, and it's really repetitive, because at first it feels good. That level, the design of it all, feels kind of interesting at first. You're like, okay, I get why you couldn't randomly do this. But then they just keep throwing that crap at you. They just keep reusing that system for so much of that dungeon, and it just gets so exhausting and boring and tedious, and I hated it because it made that entire palace take three times at least longer than it should have, because I just had to keep backtracking and going through things and pressing these buttons, and it was just, I don't want to get too into it because that could lead to spoilers, but I didn't like that. And yeah, I mean, other than that, the combat is the same as it's always been. There are a few other things that have been added, but for the most part, it's just the same combat with a little few things added here and there. But that's not really why I play Persona games. I play Persona games for the story, for the characters, for all of that. That's why I play them. That's why I play on the easiest difficulty the first go around, because I don't care about the combat. I don't. It's fine, but it's nothing that stands out in any way that I'm like, I really can't wait to, you know, be challenged and have to use my head and use a bunch of different strategies. No, I don't care, because it's not a hard game to really wrap your head around, not a hard system to wrap your head around. Like I said, you know, fire beats ice and vice versa and whatnot. But the story is why I'm playing the game. And the story of Persona 5 is not good. Before I get to the actual story, I will have a link to this in the post for this podcast, but part of the problem is that the characters lack character and personality, because the script, the English script, was not, I would go so far as to say it wasn't really localized. It was translated. And there's a difference. If you're not aware of what that difference is, what the two words basically mean, essentially, translating means just doing sort of like a word-for-word translation. More complicated than just using Google Translate, but essentially, you're just taking these things and using the little translations. Localization means taking what is said in this other language, what is meant, what is what emotions are let out, and just using the context of it all as well, and these personalities, and then putting them into words that feel natural in the language you are localizing it to. So making it feel like natural English dialogue, making it feel like things English people, Americans, would say in ways they would say it, using dialogue and syntax and just mannerisms and word choice and all that that we use here in the States, that English-speaking people use. But that's not how almost all of the dialogue and the writing feels in Persona 5. It feels like, and there's a lot of it in there, so I understand why it would be difficult to really do that and how much time they were given. You know, I don't know when they got the actual script, and I've heard, and there's bits of this in that actual article, that there are a lot of editors and translators on the team, and adding more people doesn't always really help things, because then you're having all these different opinions, and then things just get muddled and you end up with a mess, which is kind of what Persona 5 is, translation-wise, localization-wise, because a lot of it just feels very unnatural and stale and computer-like, like a Google Translate just did all this. And it feels like the team just said, you know what, we're going to let the character and the personality and all that come through the voice acting. And I can see that to some extent, because the voice acting is really good, other than some pronunciation oddities that, you know, for whatever reason, I've heard that the Japanese team is like, say it this way, and that just seems really weird, but whatever. The problem with that, though, is that while the voice acting is really good and you get their personality through their voices, because I think the voice cast is, for the most part, really well cast, they don't say every line. They don't say a lot of their lines because there is so much dialogue. And to do all that, to have them record every single bit of dialogue for every single bit of text in the game would be an incredible endeavor, and also quite expensive to have them in the recording studio that much. So the characters in the game don't really have as much personality and character as they should. But even with that said, and this is where my problem sort of is, you know, regardless of these kind of development issues, is that I don't really like the characters anyway, even though I know there is stuff lacking because of the localization. I just don't really care about a lot of these characters. I enjoy some of the side characters, these characters who are in the world that you can interact with to create other social relationships, and you learn their little side stories, and I enjoy those side stories more than the actual story. But the main cast, your fellow phantom thieves who you go about trying to change the hearts of evil adults, I don't really care about a lot of them. Some I like, but for the most part, they didn't grab me in the same way that the characters from previous games grab me. And then the story itself, I just didn't care for. This whole stealing the hearts of bad people and this mentality of adults are evil and all adults are stupid. They're all doing bad things and taking advantage of people and all this kind of stuff, which there's a large part of the story that has to do with that. Some characters more so than others feel that way, but also this kind of desire for attention and this sense that some of the Phantom Thieves, and at a point it feels like all of them are doing this and quote unquote helping others because they want to become more famous and more well known and get their name out there and think about revealing their identities so they can take advantage of the fame they've gained. I didn't like that. There's a pettiness to it, and the way you gain your persona users, your fellow Phantom Thieves, is just through them being involved in these situations with these horrible adults who do horrible things. And the game is just like, adults are horrible. They do horrible things, and people let them do horrible things because adults don't care about kids. They don't care about other people either. They're just about taking advantage. It's like, this is a very pessimistic, really downer way to look at the world. And I'm a super pessimistic person, and I don't even do this. But I just don't like that conceit of it compared to the previous games, which you had in Persona 4. The fellow Persona users, they would gain the persona, and the dungeons would all have this theme of finding, of seeing your true self and having to accept it. First, really being against it and fighting back, and that leading to a confrontation and having to accept yourself. And there's something really nice about that on a personal level, and just, I think something that a lot of people can relate to is just having these parts of you that you're kind of embarrassed by or things you don't want to admit or things that you're just, you know, are kind of, you know, they're not the best foot forward, or I don't know. But, you know, this whole concept of accepting yourself is something I think a lot of people can relate to, and just, even if they can't relate to it, it's just something they can see in themselves, which is the same as saying they relate to. I don't know what I'm saying. But I like that. And, you know, there was more tension in the actual story for Persona 4 as well, with having to find this murderer who kept throwing people into this, what was the space? Is the midnight hour, but what was the actual phantom zone? Is that what they call it? But, you know, having to solve this murder mystery, which is more fun and interesting than just changing the hearts of these horribly evil people who are doing awful, awful things. And then also you have Persona 3, which is my favorite, with the characters who have stuck with me the most. Yukari especially, for whatever reason, she's always been the one who, like, I will never forget Yukari, but so many of them are great. Misuru, Shinjiro, Junpei, I could go on, don't need to. But the story of Persona 3, which, you know, had this much grander scale and just sort of like saving humanity and, yeah, and there's also something just about that imagery of the way they summon their persona in Persona 3 that will always stick with me and will be one of the most iconic bits of imagery in any video game ever. You know, using the invoker, the gun, to basically shoot themselves in the head, which I think was revealed in the anime that they didn't need to do that, but it was used in order to elicit, I think, from the kid user. I can't remember exactly, but the story of Persona 5 just lost me fairly early on, and like the localization issues were things I kind of noticed at the beginning. Like when I first talked about the game, I was like, I'm really liking it. It's Persona, but I wasn't really, you know, I didn't have a strong feeling for it, a strong feeling of joy when I was talking about it, because I was kind of, I think I was in a place where I was not loving it, but I was not willing to admit that, because I'm like, this is a Persona game. I love Persona. I have to love this game, right? And as I played more and accepted the fact that I wasn't enjoying it, it just became more and more depressing. And I did seriously think about just putting it down and not finishing it. But then I thought, I've put so many stupid hours into this. I've wasted enough of my life. I'll waste the rest of it to just finish it and be done with it and never play it again. And that's what I did. So, yeah. I hope I made some sense. Because I know this episode has been really sporadic. I think it's just because I literally just finished it and I wanted to get my thoughts out there, but I didn't give myself any time to let my thoughts kind of just settle down. And I was just like, I'm going to say goodbye to the PS4 for a while now, because this was something else. But, yeah, Persona 5 was such an incredible letdown, and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go from here, but, Yeah. If you're looking for a game to play and you've never played a Persona game, I'd say go play the other ones, either 3 or 4, because I think, you know, they're better in every aspect. I don't like the gameplay changes. There are some usability things that are nice, like being able to easier-ish, that was a horrible word, more easily find your confidants when you are looking to interact with them in the real world. Though sometimes that's not always as easy as it seems or as it could be, but stuff like that is a welcome addition. But yeah, that's not enough to recommend it over the other games, which are superior in every other way. Also, there are a few twists in the game. One was spoiled for me, but because I am someone who's played the other Persona games and I've watched the anime, I knew something was wrong just by the difference, the significant difference in voice actor. It was like, okay, something's off. Why is this different? I kept thinking to myself, and I got that little tweet that spoiled it for me, and then it was confirmed, and I was like, yeah, well, I probably would have realized this right away because something was definitely off. And then there's another twist later on in the game, which is so obvious, and I think I called the twist before the twist even slightly illustrated itself as a possibility. I could just tell that this was going to happen. When this character is basically introduced, I'm like, okay, I know exactly why you're here, what you're going to do there. And fairly quickly after this character is introduced, they really kind of hint at it and just push at it. And maybe they're doing that so people will think, like, they're making it so obvious that this is going to be the case that it can't possibly be the case. But spoilers, it is the case if you at all realize what I'm talking about. But yeah, that was a bit annoying too. It's just like, okay, you really didn't use any kind of subtlety in this, but whatever. It's done now, and I can be gone with it. I'm not going to throw it away or anything. I just put it away, never to play it again, probably. I don't see any reason. I'll just say that I really liked Ta Takami's story, who was the doctor. She's the one I ended up romancing on. And one thing I will say I appreciate about the game is at the very end, when it's going through all the after the boss, you know, character goodbyes, whatever, blah, 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 I do appreciate that if you romanced multiple ladies fully, to the point where it's like, I love you, will you be my girlfriend, there will be consequences. And I appreciate that, even though I didn't mean to double cross on. I just kind of romanced her because I didn't feel like I had any other options in the beginning. And she's the first girl who came on my team. And I forgot that you could romance the ones who aren't on your team in the regular world who you can, you know, follow story arcs with. And I was like, well, ship. I'm digging her story. I like her voice too. I like her look. And I just can't say no to Ta Takami. So yeah, that happened. Anyway, Persona 5, huge disappointment. I'm your host, another huge disappointment, Mark Huzinez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime list, Steam, and all the usual places at PX Sausage. On PSN, which you won't see me on for a long time now. Maybe I'll try that Drawn to Life game. But I am the Kush3 on there. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the other podcasts, the art I do, and other things and whatnot. If you like the art I do, or if you want to see a whole bunch of it in one place, you can go over to pxsart.com and you will see all of it and get links to where you can buy prints and all that jazz. If you'd like to support the site in general, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and become a patron over there. And if you'd just like to support the podcast, you can go over to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to the show, because that really does help. And if you do that, or have already done that, and don't like iTunes, you don't need to listen to us on iTunes. You know, you just need to rate, review, and subscribe, and then throw iTunes away, because we're available on Stitcher Radio, Google Play Store, Player FM, SoundCloud, all the usual places. So, you know, listen wherever you like, and tell your friends about the show, because that is always appreciated. Anyway, I hope y'all have had a lovely weekend, a lovely start to your new week, and a lovely rest of your day. Bye! Bye!